Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards. I am your Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me in no particular order are the players. Brenda.
I am Ekaru Poonslay, Half-Orc, Level 6, Bloodhunter.
Caleb.
I am Kaito Atata. I have an axe. I'm a Warforged Barbarian.
Tomo!
Hey, I'm Steve Tedman. I am a level 5 Gloomstalker Ranger, level 1 Rogue, and I have a Magic Owl.
Multi-classer.
Fancy.
Braden.
I'm Braden. I am playing Bellic Dagar, level 6 Half Elf Warlock.
Previously on Dungeons and Blackguards, against all odds, the four adventurers still draw breath. Outnumbered and close to being surrounded, they fight for their lives. Will tactics and teamwork carry the gang to glory or gory death?
Well, I like what you did there.
Glory.
Outnumbered, but at least together now along the rooftops of the City of Iz, the party uses their combined tactical prowess to make a stand against overwhelming odds. Kaitoa constructs a defense wall to provide cover for the half-orc and human, both armed with flaming arrows, while the half-elf warlock conjures a fog cloud to thwart enemy archers. Steve and the owl familiar Stolas work with the construct to execute an airborne firebombing run against the oncoming gnoll assault to great effect. On the street below, the figure in blue armor is pierced multiple times, but beyond all expectations, is still bearing down on the party. Just as the four adventurers prepare their next strategic move, cavalry approaches.
Horses can't climb up on buildings. We can fuck them up. Don't worry about it.
Fuck horses.
Yeah, and horses riders are all glued to horses.
Perfect. Tell they did it back then.
Yeah, otherwise they have to get off their horses, and then when they get back on, they have to figure out whose horse is whose.
Because they're minis, it's very hard to separate the miniature little guy from the horse, so it is very tough. Anyways, right. I'm sitting back. I'm starting to get into my beer here. If anybody has any immediate questions, other than who's sort of up next, let me just pull that up.
Who is up next? What's this, too? I don't remember what this
is. That's oil.
Is it oil that we're waiting to light?
Yeah, I would like to mention that the fucking construct and the owl made a fucking clutch ass play as well.
Yeah.
Shit was awesome. Yeah.
Are you talking about when we did the math and realized that you had to roll that 20?
Yeah, it was like a 19 or a 20 or fail.
Because that was like Stolas grabbing a bag of oil that could burn me horrifically.
Hey, Steve.
It's fucking awesome. Yeah.
Let's switch spots behind this barrier.
Okay.
Because I get my opportunity attack when people enter my 10-foot radius. So I should be closest to when people are trying to climb up to us.
Okay.
Robin, the pool in the red is still the unlit oil patch, correct?
Correct. The party has prime.
The unlit oil patch.
Here.
It's Alberta.
And Beleg, half-elf warlock, it is the end of your move, and you'll recall popping off a couple of e-blasts into the fray. So actually, very similar to the end of the last session, I will ask you, anything else in your move?
I just did interaction and movement, and Steve and I switched sides so that I could have my pole arm at the ready for these little fucks that are trying to climb up the walls. Because I get attack of opportunity on them whenever they enter my 10-foot radius.
Perfect. Okay.
And, yeah, that should be good for my turn.
You guys know what happens after Beleg takes his turn.
Well, it's been a couple weeks.
It is. Archers.
I like it.
Bring it, archers.
Oh, dust off the old D20s.
We get plus 2 AC for...
That's right.
For shield action.
That's right. Now, as far as I know, you guys are situated in... There's two defensive positions. There's Rook, who, as he calls it, in his northern cover, near this board that Kaitoa has lodged up against this much higher warehouse building. Then there's the forward position, let's call it, where the majority of the arrows are flying right now.
Alpha and Bravo.
Oh, that's a lot of room.
Oh, God.
Well, remember, we have to do disadvantage.
Oh, a disadvantage, too.
For approximately...
That's all of them?
Well, now we're rolling damage.
Why are you rolling damage? Who did you hit?
No.
We'll see.
It's going to be me, because I'm behind... And I'm going to take it.
You got to roll an 18 to hit me, motherfucker.
Well, now you are looking party in the front as if there are three main targets. There's the huge hulking construct who, if I'm to understand from roll 20 here correctly, you're sort of backing up Steve and Beleg, but you have been found by one of these gnoll arrows arcing high over the battlements, Kaitoa, and you are still taking half damage to things that go you would not believe how close that is to the edge of the table, but it's not a very good roll. So 4 plus 2 is 6, half is 3.
Right.
And otherwise, party, you've become very accustomed to the board being hit occasionally, but most of these arrows flying wide of the mark and clattering and breaking along the rooftops, and a couple of them flying well over your heads into the alleyway behind you. You will notice then as well the rabbit hutch that Rook set alight, that whole area there, that is really starting to take. And then you will also hear the thundering of hooves now drawing very near. And you can certainly tell it's coming from the north. It was probably this main street only about 200 feet away. And now, Rook, you are at the top of the order.
Can I see any horses from the north?
Any indication? See.
You are still out of visual range because of this corner that the street takes there, but now where you were not 100% sure, for instance, because of the echoing along the deserted streets here, now you're sure it can only be one of these two main streets. And you'll recall as well, you do have Stolas, you know, the owl familiar, somewhere in the equation here, spying out above you. But now you're fairly certain, Rook, you cannot make a visual confirmation at this point.
Okay, well, I will tune into Stolas Vision after my turn here toward land. I am going to move forward and take aim. Let's see.
Yeah, I think the yellow marks are advantage strikes.
Yellow. Okay. I can't get the guy on the roof who's marked.
Are they
yellow
marks, Tomo, or are they fire marks and these guys burning?
Well,
there's only one yellow mark, right?
That's blue dude. Is that blue dude right there? Which one's blue guy?
So, Rob, I'm going to take aim at the left, my right overtop view left roof archers. So there's two archers that are kind of bunch together there. I'm going to shoot at those guys, and I'm hoping one arrow might take both of them.
Okay, so you're lining up a fairly long shot here. roll to attack. Longbow?
And I'm longbowing it, yeah. And then I'm going to do my classic. Can I see how much I've got for oil left? I know Kaitoa took, what, Beleg's and Steve's? And his own.
Yeah, so you would say you could probably light, you know, maybe a half dozen to a dozen more, knit rag-soaked flaming munitions. But if you filled a whole water skin with oil again, you know, that takes you down an entire lamp oil flask.
Okay. So if I can do a half dozen to a dozen, then I'm going to do one flaming here. So I'll do that at the start. But I'll roll. And 17.
That will connect your arrows streaking through the night sky and roll damage.
You had stuff in your head.
That's going to be it. Strength, so that's a 10.
Okay. You've targeted this fellow, and you said you were hoping to line up the guy behind him as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've certainly struck this hooded archer right in the back of the hood. Rook, you must have a second shot.
Yeah, and, well, for my flame there, I rolled a 3 out for my d4.
Oh, and we know, yes, a 3 immediately sort of catches. And although you don't see this gnoll go up immediately, his hood, you know, the oil creeps onto his hood, and you have seen this guy go down in a little burst of flame. Who are you targeting next?
I'm going to go for this other archer. I guess I know that this other guy that was bunched with him isn't a archer, so I'm going to the right, or his left, my right of him, to the other archer. It's about 120 feet away, and I will take aim on that beesnatch. That's a 19.
19 is going to hit as well, roll damage.
And this is non-flaming.
A standard arrow, so no additional flaming d4.
So that one's a 4 total damage.
Is there anything else in your move?
I am going to move back to my position in the north and try to keep my eye to the north and see if I can't see this cavalry and where they're coming from.
Okay, so with the remainder of your move there, as you glance northwards, you now see shadows of, it looks like a host of, well, cavalry would be the only way to put it, and you see they must be bearing torchlights because there now is a visual cue for you, Rook, as you look up northwards to this next neighborhood, beyond the little rabbit hutch and this small animal pen that you have set alight. You can now be confirmed. This is from where they are approaching.
Okay, I'm going to turn to the party and let them know. Hey guys, approaching from the north. Steve, does Stolas see anything as he's flying up above? And then that'll be it, I guess, okay. My interaction.
All right. You now have the sort of Kaitoa-Stolas connection. Then we know there's sort of a break for whatever happens on the ground. So, party, how would you like to structure this, Kaitoa or Stolas?
Stolas.
Where is Stolas right now? Where is that little guy?
Yeah. I would hope you'd know.
I can't see him. Oh, there he is. He's right in the middle of the fire. There's my guy.
Hunger of Hadar. You've persisted far too far.
But actually just far enough.
All right.
Because we read the rules.
But we are now. Yeah, that is now. Bloop.
Yeah.
It's dead.
So these guys are like climbing up the walls here.
Yeah, Steve, yeah. You will see two gnolls bearing mean-looking axes, and they're scaling a one-story building right in your immediate 20 to 30-foot purview here. Three more take a sort of a different approach, but with the same target, you, atop the rooftops, but one back beyond your oil-drenched roof trap.
And so Stolas is now, the guy, last I had him, he was flying up to get a better view of the surrounding area.
Yeah, and you had him, you know, soaring above, you know, 60 feet above. So, yeah, now you would say he has a view of almost all of the walled city of Iz.
So I guess for his turn, what if I can do it, I would like to have him basically, as his action, calling out sort of gnolls around the area. So just giving information since he's got this Stolas eye view.
Okay. Well, immediate concerns presenting themselves are this riding host of gnolls. There is no mistake about it. These are mounted gnolls. There are about 60 of them. And they are bearing down main street.
Well, I mean, it's...
60?
It's his action this turn. So, I mean, I take that for what kind of information he can pull in.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to do a roll or not, but so he's basically spending the turn sussing out the general area for enemies.
Let's roll a perception for Stolas.
Is he using his eyes?
Yeah.
He gets advantage.
Exactly.
what is this sheet here? Okay, perception plus four. Okay.
And Rob, you said 60, right?
So a 15 would be his perception roll.
That is correct, Beleg. That is five score. And what was the roll?
15.
You would see that this host is led by not a gnoll, by a man or a figure of clearly some import, is riding at the head of the vanguard of this group. Ooh. And this is what you would have the knowledge of now, Steve, as the owl Stolas here is doing great recon.
So I've seen the number of riders coming now?
Yes, so okay. You're looking at 50 riders, mounted gnolls, and they're formed roughly into five groups of 12. And in the first group of 12, you can see has a figure of some difference and clearly not a gnoll. In fact, it looks like a half-sized race. So gnome, halfling, goblin.
What is his armor like? Can we see what his garb is?
I would say you cannot tell.
Yeah, okay.
Although there is now the construct up, unless there's anything else you would have Stolas do in their move, Steve.
Okay, and as far as move goes, I think he's going to just posse out over here. Yeah.
Okay, Stolas has soared back towards the party, and Kaitoa, you would see now the scene in front of you, the chaos, call it in the southern street here, is simply expanding in front of your eyes, the fog, the smoke, behind you, the thundering of hooves, and yeah, the owl Stolas has just swooped back down, surely with information, and you are up.
I'm gonna move to this point and I'm gonna look at my party, make sure someone is watching me, and I'm gonna yell out in giant,
"Bring it on, you cowards! Meet me on this lower deck if you want a real battle. Bring all that you can."
I'm gonna entice every gnoll I can to get onto this lower deck in front
of
me.
The real question is, do gnolls understand giant?
Yeah, I'm hoping here. I don't know that. I don't know that.
Hey, man, some things need no translation.
But something tells me I think gnolls might just get that.
Well, the party has tried all manner of taunting, and in fact, none of it has failed in the face of these ferocious beasts. And Kaitoa, you have not actually left the sort of octagonal building that the party is on here, but you're sort of just edging over to this building that you have, what do you guys call it, sauced?
Yeah, and I say, bring your best.
Bring your mightiest.
Okay.
And I'll take you all and myself.
You do not have the board in front of you. You do not have Max Planck with you.
Nope.
And can you roll either performance or intimidation or maybe persuasion or maybe deception? Roll deception.
Yeah, but it's what's going to work.
I suppose so. Gotta get that team 100 off.
Is this like a video game where, like, when we level up, we gain all our hit points and spell slots back?
Oh, fuck. Wouldn't it be nice? No, long rest.
Okay. I guess I'll roll deception just for the fun of it, because I'm probably going to fail.
What is your deception modifier, Kaitoa?
Oh, zero. But it's a 17.
Oh, shit! Oh, no problem! You have had really very little difficulty so far, guys, kind of manipulating your enemy's attention. And in this case, Kaitoa, these five charging gnolls clambering up the building, scaling the walls, are alerted anew to your presence, and they can only probably really see one path to you. So far, so good, man. You have drawn their ire in a terrible way.
Yeah, I want all five of these fuckers together for a mighty battle.
Okay, so you've barely moved, you've done a little side shuffle, you've done some smack talk, anything else?
Oh,
show them your oil can.
Any oil that I have left, I'd love to construct more oil bladders.
Oh, if you would have one empty water skin, because you only sauced that roof.
Yeah.
But Stolas Talon'd the other one.
Yeah.
Okay. And perhaps you would be looking to see if your lamp oil flask has anything left. Otherwise, you'd be consulting the rest of the party to figure out who has the remaining, you know, roughly half left of what used to be used for lantern lighting.
Well, I'd like to definitely dip one of these hand axes in oil, potentially to light this roof on fire. And I'm going to huck it at someone on fire and light them up.
All right.
I'm going to yell over to Kaitoa. I've got mine left. I think I'm the only one left with lamp oil. Yeah. You can come take a dip.
Yeah. There's only so much I can do from this position. I'm hoping that my party knows that we need to light this up ASAP.
Oh, we will.
Okay, Kaitoa, as you bathe the head of your hand axe in just the last drippings of oil from your water skin there, you see in front of you the head of a gnoll, and then another. A third is also climbing up one of these buildings, and another two seem to have made it all the way up to that doused roof, and now they are dashing again. Steve and Beleg, you see these fierce, hairy,
I entered my sphere.
Armored gnolls here. They are just beginning to enter, actually, your sphere of influence there. And immediately, Beleg, you will see one of them at the corner of this 1.5-2-story building. Although he is out of your reach, he is not out of reach of your polearm. So what do you get on an opportunity attack?
Yep. Yeah, as soon as he enters my 10-foot, 10-foot diameter, Or 10 foot radius. Okay.
Sorry. Knock him back into that flame.
Attack?
It was pretty shitty. It was really shitty. That's an 11.
Wow. In this moment, as your blade comes towards this gnoll's upper shoulder, you feel like you are about a foot short with your swing. What do you do?
I feel inspired. And I roll a 17.
Oh, Beleg. In this moment, as you extend your forearm out, you catch a glimpse of this spider tattoo, this blotchy tattoo. And in this moment, you almost see the tattoo sort of change form into the shape of your glaive weapon, and you feel your reach extend by a foot, and you have dealt a blow, and you have seen blood spurt out between armor plates. Roll damage.
That would be a 7. And fuck it, I'm just going to throw that 2d8 thunder damage on that bitch to intimidate everybody else.
Okay, are you using the new, the fancy new pole arm there? It also has the thunder effect, should you choose to deal the damage.
Yeah, the Digari. So, 3, 4, 7 slashing plus 7 thunder damage.
You have simply taken this gnoll apart as you cleave into him, this this guy that you have injured.
Sweet.
And now down on the streets, you see the blue figure and his one or two stragglers. And they seem also to be on the exact same vector here. They are approaching quickly. There only seems to be one or two of them stumbling towards here. And still there are archers on the battlements. You hear a great clattering of hooves drawing ever nearer party. Steve, you are up.
Sweet. All right. So we kind of want these three dudes to get lit on fire, right?
I'm not going
to
kill them. Light them up while we have the chance.
I'm wondering if I should. Okay, so first off, I am relaying the information that Stolas led to me. Lots of riders. 60 riders. Lots of guys. More than we can probably handle. Many more coming. We gotta get the fuck out of here. And fuck, what's left of Blue Man Group down here? Did I put my Hunter's Mark on this guy? Or is it?
I don't know where your mark is now, buddy.
Okay.
Why don't we use this sort of gold color for mark and tell me where next you'd Hunter's Mark.
Okay. All right. I'm going to keep putting shit on this Blue Man guy. So Blue Man Group, this guy gets the Hunter's Mark for my bonus.
Okay. And you can be assured, you know, you have marked this guy, and yeah, there's only the blue figure, the figure in blue armor, and one of his heavily armored gnoll soldiers left with him, stragglers on the ground, whereas the other five, despite their encumbrance, are ferociously mounting towards you. So Steve, you're identifying not the immediate threat here, just within your 15-foot view. Beleg has that sorted out on the flanks. You are still targeting down in the street.
Yeah, I'm going to put pain on the blue man.
All right. And he has arrows protruding from his chest and from his back in both directions. Yeah. Your arrows, party. Your arrows.
Well, now I want to put arrows into eye slits and all the best places that Steve can think of.
Okay.
I'm not going for like center body mass. I'm going for stuff that I know is going to maim and like really, really hurt, if not kill, normal people.
Open up his belly button.
Yeah, one in the umbilicus. So first roll is 19 plus 3, 22 to hit.
Okay, the eager short bow plus Steve is connecting. Roll damage.
11. 11 plus 17, 28 damage.
All right, and you said you were targeting, and this figure does have, head piece here does have fairly prominent eye slits, so you could be aiming for one of those.
Yeah, one in each eye hole.
Yowza, okay, you have struck home, and 28 damage, so that's the first shot. Next shot?
Inspiration, I'm using it. 15 plus 3 is 18 to hit.
18 will hit. And in this case, I suppose, Steve, how would you describe this momentary lapse as you feel you may not be hitting him, but do?
Let's see. I think it's a combination of me taking the shot and him, after that first shot, kind of trying to stick his head offside and just catching the arrow anyway.
Okay, brilliant. Then you have sunk two of your arrows right in. So roll what damage now in the second?
All right, 7, 9, 26 for the second shot.
Ooh, and now two barbed shafts protrude from each eyelet.
No, he has arrows for eyes. Steve
basically, that's pretty funny.
Steve is after the shots, like he's keeping an eye on this guy to see if there's any kind of change in this.
Hungry eyes.
So Steve, you're remarking any reaction? Well, you definitely see purchase here with your arrows. It is not an illusion. You have definitely struck, you know, the physical head of this figure. You can certainly, you know, divine that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's it for the only thing I've got left is movement, and so far I'm pretty good. So
toss a match? No? Okay.
Light the fire! Light the fucking fire!
Light the fire!
Well... Yeah, I've already done my act. Like, I've used my action. I used my bonus. I really would only have a reaction left at movement. So that's I'm not doing anything else as far as being able to throw stuff or
fishing. Okay. Just to establish, but yes, there's one more party member who acts before the archers on the battlements there, and you can hear the pleas of Kaitoa.
And that's me?
Beleg, yes. You're in the pole position.
So, I can't see the cavalry coming down, right?
No, you've been alerted. Rook is maintaining the northern reconnaissance position.
Yeah.
You were just obstructed by the edges of your neighborhood, but all the party's alerted, and the thundering of hooves is now reverberating into your area. It's unmistakable.
So... would I know where they'll be coming, like, coming from?
And Steve has now actually mentioned the numbers as well.
But so, is it like, will they be coming towards me?
200 feet away to the north is where the Y intersection, you know, terminates in the next main road. And the party has now been assured it is not from the east, is not from the west, is not from the south, which is the keep. It can only be this main road, and yes, Steve Stolas has alerted you to the numbers 50.
Yeah, all right. I yelled it out in my turn as well. That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, 60, not 16. 60.
60.
We're fucked.
So my Eldritch Blast is force damage, and my idea was so if like I knew which avenue they'd be attacking from. Try and put divots in the road where they'd be running through, so the horses would fuck up their gait and trip and fall. But if it seems like they're at least a turn away still, if they're 200 feet away. But does that, Rob DM, Mr. DM, does that idea like hook?
To break up the cobblestones?
Well, yeah, I looked at the Eldritch Blast and its force damage, so I was wondering if I would be able to.
if you want to get creative, I see no reason why not.
Well, if they're running and they trip into something and fuck up, it could be a domino effect. That was the whole idea.
Oh,
there's
man,
still
like
over 200
brothers. That would be sweet.
Yes,
a sonic boom to the ground.
Yeah. So I want potholes in front of the horses so that they start, like, if they break their legs, they pile up, and it impedes everything. But if they're still 200 feet away, it'll take them another two turns to get to us.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing out the theory. I'm going to throw Eldritch Blast at the guy that I hit with my my glaive and the other guy who has not yet crested the second building.
Okay. Roll attack. Roll on AC.
And I will be using my Repelling Blast. First one is a 23. Second one is an 18.
Well, both will connect, and are you targeting the fellow who you have already lightning damaged and slashed and is just feet away from the saucing?
Yeah, so that guy and this guy here. I wanted to do Repelling Blast here, and it double-checking on the distance. I think it's 10 feet, but I knocked both of them back 10 feet. The whole idea was that I knocked both of them off.
Yeah, you pushed the creature up to 10 feet away from you in a straight line. Yeah, so one guy you have pushed right off the wall, and he'll take some falling damage. And the other guy you have pushed, and he's tripping backwards towards the sauce patch.
Beauty. Four damage for the first guy, which I think would be the guy tripping to the sauce patch. He was, in my mind, the first one that I hit. And the second is a 10. Sweet. So the guy that I knocked off the ledge takes 10 damage, and the guy tripping towards the sauce patch takes 4.
Oh dear, the one who you knocked off the wall doesn't just fall off to the first level, he falls all the way down. And so he'll take an additional 5 damage.
Beautiful.
Beleg, is there anything else in your move?
Nope. My move is complete.
All right, Beleg, as you wrap up, it is arrows. For all three courses of this meal that you guys have ordered for yourselves. The fog cloud, the 40-foot sphere or wall of cloud still obscures you guys.
Why did no one light that fire?
There's a 19.
I've got you, Caleb. Don't worry, bud.
But there is one 19 that is finding a home. It can't really be Rook. It could theoretically be Beleg. It could theoretically be Kaitoa. Who wants to take it?
I'll take it, because I'm the only one outside of the shield.
You were taunting, buddy. And your strategy is to, receive this arrow, and you will not be disappointed, my friend. Here we go.
Yep.
Well, that's not bad. 8 haft is 4 for you.
Okay.
And Rook, as you look on at the party, and you see them take their actions, and you see the arrows flash around in the firelight, and you see Kaitoa take another arrow. It looks like barely a scratch on your metal friend. But geez, he has taken a couple. You are up, and now, actually, Rook, you are seeing the first of this vanguard of, it looks like, 12 mounted gnolls and a figure leading them at the mouth of this streetway, 200 feet approximately to the north of the party through the buildings.
I can see them. Is it directly between the building that I lit on fire and the other barn building? That kind of straight north direction?
That is correct, Rook. Are you seeing them, Rook?
I am, yeah.
Oh, shit. And guys, I need to refill my beer. It's 10:30. I think it's time for the mid-session break here. Is that cool with everybody?
Yep.
Yeah, I can go for a pee.
And then when we come back, it'll be your move.
Sounds good.
Sweet.
someone needs to light this fire.
Well, I'm gonna do it with my first. That way, for whatever reason, I've got my second arrow.
Yeah, I love that Beleg at least took the other guys who weren't a part of the flame. He hit them hard, so I think we're good, but someone needs to light his fire. I do have that hand axe dipped in oil just to huck at this last ditch. So if you have to fire at someone else, please do.
Well, so they're not on the map yet, are they, these riders?
No,
they're up on the up here, right?
The northeast side of this tavern house complex.
So I suggest we go this way. To the west.
I was thinking that we go straight north, because I imagine they'll come northeast down this main street.
Well, okay, I've still got... If we need to break and get the fuck out, I've got that last spell of Pass Without Trace.
Okay.
So we can break from combat, get down here, get out of the sight of the gnolls, and then I do pass Without Trace, and we break out.
And break into the main.
Yep.
And get the fuck the fuck out.
Oh,
we can use the shadow of this building here to break line of sight, and then Pass Without Trace and rip out.
Leave? We're not gonna just like,
dude. 60. We're running out of. I'm very happy.
No,
that
dude,
no one's talked about how many arrows Steve has shot. But like,
we were talking about infinite
arrows.
So we were talking about running away at the beginning of this interaction, and now we're like a session and a half in. And we're still fighting. I'm half health. I think the fact that we were like facing this army and we're not dead yet, we've proved ourselves. We just need to get the fuck out now.
I mean, we're not winning this fight.
Yeah. We know we can handle them, but we have to come back with more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. I think we've proved ourselves.
Yep. We're fighting 60 dudes, man.
Yeah, I'm half health. I can't keep this up.
I don't know how many arrows Steve has, but I don't think it's that many.
All I'm saying is if we get into the keep of Iz, there's nobody inside there because we've dragged all of them out. We got free reign on this damn dungeon.
Dude, this is the old guys on the wall.
No, we'll leave. We'll run away.
All right.
I don't think we've got the ability to win this fight.
I think we could keep hammering them. We've done really well with just the four of us. So I think if we were to like wear them down slowly, we'd win this war.
But
I think we could. But
if we're gonna do that, we've got to come up with a strategy to deal with the horses and funnel them. We can't just have them.
My divot domino strategy is the only thing I've got so far.
Well, I was thinking of lighting this building, like the building to the left, on fire, that kind of that long barn building, because then that kind of keeps them coming at least down the probably the right hand side.
I'm not gonna lie, man. Rob would be so very, very nice if that attack did anything to the ground that it would actually kill any of the horsemen.
Kill, no, but dismount. I don't know. I feel like it's pretty logical.
Horses can't run across ditchy terrain.
It's like a single target attack, though. It's like me shooting an arrow in the ground and like, well, that's not enough.
No, but if we were to like hinder the horses and
Steve,
then
Steve, how many caltrops do you have?
Because
if you dump some of those. I mean, the horses aren't just going to go trotting over caltrops.
No.
I think it's generally meant for people with soft boots. Like, even the writing about it is like they're wearing like heavily heeled boots. The caltrops really don't do much. So I think, yeah.
Well, we got to make a decision if we're going to fight them or not.
For you guys, what's the difference? Like, the impact of a short rest versus a long rest? Do you guys need a long rest?
I'm pretty much at full health.
I'm okay for health. I have one more level 2 spell. That's all I need for resting.
My health isn't good, but if I mean, we could pop out and do a quick pop in and catch people off guard if we wanted to go quick, heal, recharge a bit, and then come back in.
And you've got spell for healing, don't you?
Yeah, I've got the Prayer of Healing scroll, and then I recharge all my spell slots on a short rest. Or we can run away and go back to the Pulp.
So at Pulp, we have about 200 soldiers from the draft.
200. We have 200 militia.
Yeah.
We've got 60 more troops showing up. We've got people firing arrows at us at disadvantage, but they're still chipping away.
Yeah.
We're going to be caught right in the middle very soon. I think if we've got a window to make space and keep everything on one side, even if we're not going to run away, I don't want to be caught in between and lose that ability to get away.
I don't want to be here very
soon. Let's get outside the city boundaries.
But we need to get back and send more troops to keep assaulting.
Well, we can keep assaulting as long as we got an escape route, right? Like, I don't mind keeping assaulting.
It's going to take us 2 days to get back to Pulp.
Yeah.
We're 4 days away from attacking with another wave.
Yeah.
So if we want to keep them off guard and keep the assault going, it would have to be us.
Yeah, or we have to split the party.
No.
No.
Yeah. That is the option, though, of, like... No.
And with that ominous statement there, you know, at the top of the order here, the party has had a moment to strategize. So, Rook, I'm not sure. What are you doing with your move, buddy?
First shot, going for the cool lamp oil on the rooftop there.
Lit fire.
No, I'm just going to aim right in the middle of the pool of lamp oil. So, Rob, what do you want me to roll for that?
Roll the normal d4 where, you know, the gods do have to be in your favor on you're firing a lit arrow. So just a 1d4, buddy.
Yeah, I'll answer that for you. It was a 4.
An immediate ignition then, and you see the all too familiar gnolls going up in fire.
Thank you.
I just imagine Kaitoa peeing oil all over the rooftop to make this puddle for me. And he's just standing there with his hammer in hand.
Is construct oil flammable? Construct pee, as it were?
Depends on how much you drank the night before.
Who can say? But there is now, Rook. I mean, you still have something left in your move, but there is the result. The oil is now taking at the feet of these 4 gnolls on the rooftop.
Okay, so with the cavalry coming in, 130 looks like to be the guy furthest on the left. An arrow like this, just a regular arrow at the cavalryman, kind of right furthest to the left on the top view.
Okay.
To my left, right there.
You, Rook, yes, could take a pot shot at the person on the left of this formation of 12 mounted gnolls, and you'll be rolling a good old longbow on attack.
Yeah, so 16.
That is a long shot. Well, not for a longbow. 135.
So 100 and... Oh, yeah, they're fine.
135. Yeah,
150 is the standard.
You said 15, Rook?
16.
16. Well, that is definitely connecting with your quarry. Roll damage to see the effect.
9.
Oh. 9. Well, where would you say you have pierced this medium armored mounted gnoll?
I'm aiming for the neck.
Then yes, certainly it's gone right into the nice fleshy part of his neck. And what else in your move?
I'm going to turn to the rest of the group and advise that we start thinking about making moves away, kind of to the, I guess it'd be the west, to keep everybody in one position in front of us and the route of escape. So I'm going to turn to them and suggest that we climb this ever so nicely constructed board that Kaito has put on the next building and kind of make our way that way.
Okay, that would be sort of your interaction, and then you're passing the torch to, as always, it's a toss-up.
I think the last time we chose Stolas.
Yeah.
To roll first.
Yep.
Go for it. Stolas in the sky.
All right. Well,
Stolas in the sky with diamonds.
I was wondering when it was coming.
Anyways,
Stolas is going to suss out what is happening to the north of us. So he's going to fly out to about here, and if possible, I'd like to fly out and up.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be his maximum if he was flying in a straight line. But he's also gaining altitude. Does that shorten the movement at all?
Maybe just tell me what your big picture is here, and are you sending him to a bigger picture map, which we can do?
So what I want out of Stolas now is the ability to have the eyes to understand where we should move.
Okay.
Because Steve, after knowing that 60 guys are coming up on him, Steve's interest is breaking eyesight with what we're fighting. And casting his last pass without trace on himself and the party.
Okay, so Steve, where you are and party, where you are right now is the little triangular neighborhood. And the Y intersection right here, this is where the host of Riders comes from.
Yeah.
Stolas, what about under the city?
Hmm.
As far as if this is a town with a sewer system or not?
Roll maybe something with Stolas, and then I think this would conclude Stolas' turn.
Or I guess the other thing that I was kind of thinking with Stolas, looking for signs
physically of
a sewer, like manholes or grates or something.
Yes, okay. Does appear to have some sewers and waterways coming from the River Polba. Are there open sewer grills in the city? No, but there is some rudimentary sort of troughs. You could not tell whether there's an underground architecture. It seems unlikely. This town seems to have been, or the city seems to have been built long before those sorts of civilized niceties were available.
So, just like stinky side roads.
It doesn't look like any sophisticated man-sized sewers. You know, I'm assuming that's what you're looking for.
The idea of being able to exit unseen, be able to go underground for a little bit. But if that's not the case, then we've got to figure out how to get
Stolas sees none of those. Those exist, but not here in Iz.
Okay.
Well, what does Stolas have to roll to carry all of us out?
Polymorph.
Yeah. As soon as I can summon those pixies.
Yeah.
So Stolas, wheeling overhead, you would be passing the flame to Kaitoa unless there's anything else in your move.
Nope, that's certainly enough.
Good recon. And Kaitoa, very little in the change in your situation. You are center of attention on the corner of this building. Steve and Beleg just off to your side. Rook being scarce, but firing arrows off into some unknown foe. And you're up.
Okay. So I'm going to actually huck my hand axe at them. But I'm not going to jump down. I'm just going to huck a hand axe at them.
A roll on AC, thrown hand axe.
Yeah.
Proficient with that, so probably just a regular roll.
Yeah. Not good.
Not good at all. A 9.
A 9 at the moment is far from hitting.
Yeah.
However, you know, if you are launching this thing at these gnolls, it is certainly adding to the attention that you are drawing. But this thing probably bounces right off a chest plate, Kaitoa, not nearly in the right spot. You've hit this guy, and it clangs off his metal chest plate.
It is dosed in oil, though, so it should catch on fire.
That is true. It has now fallen into the sort of oil patch, but dealt no damage. What else in your move?
I have a second hand axe, so I still get to roll 13.
13 against these heavily armored gnolls at the moment, Kaitoa. Ooh, your axe is just spinning, you know, in the wrong momentum unless you choose to correct it in some way.
Nope.
And again...
No.
Bounced right off armor. What else in your move?
I'll move maybe 5 feet to entice a little more into the flame.
Okay, you're slightly moving back on your position, but like only like what, like a quarter of your move, okay?
Yeah.
And in this new vantage point, let's see if you see anything new. Yeah, no, at the moment that this position, Kaitoa, still does not afford you a direct view of the approach of the cavalry. But you certainly have moved closer to Rook's position and to this little clearing where the bunnies and the squeals of rabbits now fill the air and a delicious scent begins to waft in your direction. All right. You have gnolls charging up towards the small, roughly 5 foot wide gap between buildings here. You guys are slightly, you know, higher up. These guys are aflame. They are screaming and yapping, but, you know, the oil here has not doused them thoroughly enough to, you know, kill them, although clearly they are on fire. They continue to jump towards, and they use all of their movement to do so. One of them, in flame, jumps across and has probably entered pole arm range again. But let's see how many of them jump and enter your pole arm. Here we go. One is now scrambling at the edge. A third. Nice. And a fourth here, who don't seem to be very well off due to all the fire damage, make it across. But then there's one gnoll that slips down in their heavy armor and clatters to the bottom and clearly is dead. Ah. This was the one, Beleg, that you lightning damaged and slashed.
So how many do I get to opportunity attack?
As they jump across, Beleg, you're going to catch two of them with your opportunity attack, while the third one probably notices and just avoids it at 10.5 feet.
All right. Attack one is 16 on AC.
That hits.
Attack two is a 15 on AC.
That does not hit.
All right. Attack one is 11 damage.
All right, and this is the guy who is carrying the flame?
Yes. So he shall fall onto the others and ignite them.
Oh, yeah, so this guy, let's hit point. Okay, now he is looking absolutely terrible. He is bloodied. He is also prone. He is on fire. And... the second one is just out of your reach. So you didn't connect with the second opportunity, the reaction there, bud?
Yeah, I rolled a 15, which
okay.
was no bueno.
All of the movement has been expended by these gnolls clambering and jumping up here, you see the figure in blue. He has now moved just, you know, beyond where the party can see his metal helm there, but clearly is still advancing towards you. And now, speaking of movement, how fast does a horse move? You now see this first 12 horses here, and the one that you also hit, Rook, there, they are charging right towards the party's position. And the 8 more of them, they seem to charge to the other side, down the street. And there is one figure among them that looks quite un-Gnoll-like. Indeed, it looks like a small race atop a similarly sized horse as all of these other fearsome gnolls.
It's Telchains.
And that is where we'll have to leave you tonight, friends and adventurers, until the next time on Dungeons and Blackguards.
Well, is this guy marked here, or is he now dead?
That's an old Stolas piece, Dane. Let's take that away. And he is definitely dead. Oh, dude, that's part of the Oily Boys.
Right. Okay.
It's like the Sticky Bandits.
Guys, what the fuck is with all the Home Alone references? It's like the only thing we reference.
Is there anything else to reference?
There isn't. It's the only thing.
Can you tell the age group of our party?
I've got
party's resources. Okay, so I just have to write down, guys.
I did deep voice Robin again.
From
Home Alone.
Oh shit, really?
This is Kevin McAllister.
The talk back. The talk boy.
Credit card? You know it.
Take that, you filthy animal.